Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The show that is the sworn enemy of lying, pomposity, smugness, and groupthink. It is still a great country. If they tell you, you have no reason to feel guilty for being an American, no matter what they claim, and you don't have to obey.
So he's talking about his show, of course. Although, you know, we might be a close second, maybe a third or fourth. But he just says there, you don't have to feel guilty and about being an American. What percentage of people right now in this country have guilt over being an American? It's weird to me because by definition, that's like the opposite of what being an American makes me feel. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel gushing pride. You know, have you ever been in a setting where, I'll give you a couple instances I can think of off the top of my head. My husband's a huge Notre Dame football fan. Sorry to everybody who isn't, because I've learned, because I've married into this, that you either love Notre Dame or you hate them. There's very little in between if you care about sports like that. And we were at the, we went to a Navy game. We went to an Army game with Notre Dame, and we got to see, aren't they the Golden Eagles? They parachute the ball, the football, to the absolute scientific centermost part of the 50-yard line in the field. I don't understand it, but I'm like, yeah, America. That makes me proud. It makes me, like, weirdly weepy. I'm not a super emotional type. I'm an emotional person in the context of specific things. But patriotism is one of those things that makes me the most emotional. Another game we were at Notre Dame, the Blue Angels flew over and, like, clipped my hair when they came over. They were so low, and they were so close to one another, and they're planes. Why does that make me weepy? I don't know, but it does. I beam with American pride when I see the precision and the perfection of our military. It just oozes out of me. I can't help it. That sounds gross.
Ooze. Yikes.
When I look at a baseball game and I see Jack Buck after 9/11 reading the poem that he put together when we came back, I mean, like, I've got goosebumps right now thinking about it. When I'm watching any type of sporting event and the national anthem is being played and they show the flag whipping in the wind, what is it about the wind and a flag, a piece of material, that makes me beam with pride for my country? Those are just things. You know, those are symbols of something that causes me to, at times, literally have tears. I don't understand what it is that is so, like, inside of me that feels it needs to come on the outside, where it's not just me going, oh, I really like that shirt. I think I could buy that. Where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so in love with this thing and so proud to be associated with this thing that I can't contain it. Do people, is that a political thing? Can we draw a line down the aisle where if you are on one side of the aisle, you're going to feel that pride, and on the other side, you're going to feel a little bit of guilt? You're going to see the American, you know, Katie, I'm looking over your head right now, and you've got, like, the Star Wars American flag, like you're going into warp speed here.
Shooting out of me.
Yeah, yeah. You're just beaming patriotism right now. You can check us out on the webcam if you'd like to see her patriotic face right now. But, I mean, do people see that and go, gosh, that's just really boastful? Can we tone that down a little bit? There are people who do.
I had an experience with someone that I often go round and round with. He's a gentleman that I worked with a long time ago.
Do you circle back?
We don't circle back, but we there is no circling back. We both dig our heels in and we're like, let's argue right now. So I posted something, a totally non-confrontational, a not controversial post on my Facebook.
Puppies are nice.
Puppies are great. It was someone singing, it was a group singing the national anthem. It's my favorite rendition. All I put was like America with a bunch of American flags and said like, this is great. Like a lot of people probably think we stink right now, but this was what makes me happy in America. This is what makes me believe that America is so true and so wonderful and the best country ever. And his post back to me was, I can finally stop cringing whenever I see the American flag because Trump is out of office. That was the post back to me. So that's what a lot of people on the left feel. That is a huge feeling that people that I know, that I speak with either on social media or in my everyday life, they feel that way. For the first time ever, they're okay now to put up the American flag because Trump is out of office.
That's un-American. Being American is about being surrounded by things you don't like because other people do like them, which means you can surround yourself with things you like that other people don't like, and we coexist. We don't do that. There are other countries around the world who absolutely don't do that. I just don't understand. I mean, there's so much inflicted guilt where we're all pointing our fingers at one another and trying to explain to other people why they need to feel guilty. It seems to me like if you wait long enough, someone's going to be pointing their finger back at you. And it's hard to keep up with. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live in a country where half of us are not proud to be in this country. Why would you stay in a country where you weren't proud to be in? And I also don't think it is as simple as saying Republicans, patriots, Democrats, you know, guilt-ridden. It's not that way. There is something that is happening in our culture right now that is causing us to have this guilt and pushing us to have it. And I think that's a lot of where the virtue signaling comes from. You want to make sure people know, like, I know where I stand and I need you to know that so you're okay with me. It's just kind of crazy. Let's talk to Tyrus about it. Hey, Tyrus, thanks for calling the show. We're glad to have you on here. Host of Nuff Said on Fox Nation, and he's a Fox News contributor as well. I don't know if you heard us talking there about the idea of, like, is it cool to be proud to be an American still? Tyrus, are you proud to be an American in the least Lee Greenwood way that I can say that?
As far as I can tell, I am. I would just like to add to your finger-pointing comment. My offensive line coach once told me, when you're pointing fingers, remember there's always three pointing back at you.
Amen.
So, you know, so there you go for that. But I think the media, especially mainstream media, is really working hard to push the division angle because that's all they have left of President Trump, and they really miss him.
Oh, yeah.
They really miss him. So, and he's not on TV enough for them anymore. So they're really going to go in hard at trying to dredge things up to add like lingering effects of the Trump empire, as they would describe it. So, of course, they're going to really push that button. I think most Americans generally are trying to pay their bills, keep their families from being sick, and get along with everybody around them as best they can. Just the most important thing is just don't look for guidance, advice from social media.
That is true. Words have never been said. I'm looking at a USA Today article here from today, and it's talking about how the Tampa Bay Super Bowl was not the super spreader event that everybody suggested it was going to be. And I saw your colleague, I think it was Katie Pavlich, had tweeted out, like, Let's stop getting people outraged about what might happen. Let's start reporting on what does happen. There were press conferences with the mayor of Tampa Bay saying that she was going to go out and they were going to fine people who didn't wear masks. And then later on, they showed her in a suite not wearing a mask. And then that story kind of just faded away. But we keep being told these events are going to be super spreader events. And then it doesn't end up happening. I mean, it's hard to find truth out there these days.
Well, I think the truth is that as much as the leading experts know so much about COVID, they don't know so much about COVID. We assume what we think is going to be a super spreader, typically outdoors, wide open, spread out, 6 feet. We got a better shot at not getting COVID-19. Indoors is still kind of an issue. You know, we're still dealing with, when you're dealing with AC systems and all that kind of stuff, indoors is a little more dangerous. But again, there's sharks in the water. You know, you're going out and you're wearing a mask and you're doing the best you can, social distancing. So you try to fear monger with the making predictions that something's going to be, not, hey, let's just really focus on giving everyone advice. Make sure you do your best with social distancing, wear a mask when you can, et cetera, and just give the advice. It doesn't have to end with a Armageddon-esque lesson, you know, but they figure they can't get a people to read the story if they don't have a ridiculous headline, super spreader, Super Bowl. And then turns out, no, not really, wasn't at all.
Yeah. Joe Biden said the other day that the Texas's governor and Mississippi's governor removing their mask mandate, which I remind people, if the mask mandate goes away, you can still wear your mask in this country. You're not disallowed to do it. But he called it Neanderthal thinking. And, you know, I think there are a lot of Americans who hear that and kind of internalize that kind of comments. We don't get to hear a lot from Joe Biden these days. These are the comments he chooses to make, but he doesn't face reporters. He doesn't answer questions from the press. Does it concern you when he comes out and says things like this and also doesn't put it in the context of more information?
No, I really, at this point, sticks and stones. You know, I really don't. Somebody's comment, if it's, you know, here's the thing. Florida's a perfect example. My kids live in Florida, so I visit my kids. And, yeah, the governor of Florida lifted a lot of the mandates. But you know what? The people of Florida did a really good job of wearing masks in restaurants and social distancing and stuff. Even though they had the option of not doing it, the people of Florida were working hard to do it. So I think before we're so quick to attack the governors and go at them, you can still give the message to people. And more often than not, people are going to do what's best for them. And people will probably still wear masks if they don't, regardless of what the government said, depending on their situation. And you let the facts be out there and people can make their own decisions. I mean, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We're hearing that, you know, with vaccinations and everything, that summertime we could be looking at getting back to whatever normal used to be. I think COVID will always be there, just like the common cold and every other disease that we've had to face in our time on this planet. But I think we're going to be, with the vaccines and people generally across the board doing a good job of social distancing and masks when they can, I think we're going to be all right, regardless of Neanderthal thinking and comments like that, because it doesn't help. But, you know, we're so used to people making ridiculous comments and insulting each other. But when they say it, it's heartfelt and they're trying to make us aware. And when Republicans say it, it's a hate crime. So you got to be a little more consistent with their name calling. Can everybody call names, or is it just a certain political group that can call names?
So that's for sure. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about, you know, where you think this is going in the future, because what you're pointing out here, what you said about Florida specifically, is that the people of Florida did not need the governor to babysit them to make decisions that were good for themselves. Isn't that the message here? Like the largest message that people need to be talking about?
Yeah. And but that's what gets lost in it, because I guess that's not a sexy enough headline, that asking adults to be adults and people to think for themselves is really what this country was supposed to be founded on. So I guess it's not a fun of self saying, oh, you're taking the masks off. The governor of Texas said so everyone's going to do it. Most people, but at this point, very rarely look to the government for all their answers, you know. So I think they're going to look, if they're wearing masks because that's what they need to do for work or when they go into the supermarket and things like that, I'm sure they'll continue to do so. Even after it's across, let's say 3 months from now, we have mask mandates lifted across the country as a whole. There will still be Americans wearing masks,
yeah.
I think. There will still be people social distancing. There will still be people doing those things, and more often than not, and everyone being, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all still in this together. And if you'll see people who don't, and you tend to avoid them if that's what your issue is. But again, there's going to be a COVID shark in the water from now on. And it's just, we deal with it as we go, you know. So maybe that's the end of all thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you make great points. That's why we like having you here. Thanks for coming on the show. Good to talk to you.
Oh, thanks for having you. All right.
Talk to you soon. Fox Nation host of Nuff Said. Go be a FoxNation.com subscriber there. Tucker is adding a bunch of new content there as well. They've really expanded that. And I got to say, if you haven't looked into how to consume entertainment and news and information on your TV outside of just your standard cable box right now, there's a lot of stuff out there. Like, endless choices, honestly. Fox Nation is a great one to check out. He's a Fox News contributor as well. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan's going to be in the studio with us now, and we'll carry on with the show. Kevin Wheeler's joining us at 2:25. We're going to ask him about some spring training news, and there's some huge news with the St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis. What's that news? I'll tell you when we come back, and we'll discuss it with Kevin Wheeler at 2:25.
Did you all see where Joe Biden was sitting at his table, and he was talking, and then he gets done, and he's like, well, and I'll take some questions. Did I send that to you, Katie? I'll take some questions if you want, Nance, if that's okay. And then there's this awkward silence, and it just fades to blue. Mm-hmm. And it goes away. The White House cut the feed. What? Joe Biden said, I'll take questions. And then he did not. It was so awkward. It was like something that you would see in, it's like, it felt like Steve Carell in The Office. And I don't watch The Office, but that's like, I feel like The Office, is The Office made, Katie, you're a big Office fan, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is The Office made to make you feel uncomfortable?
Absolutely. It is the most awkward show. Annie, I have that audio if you want me to
play it. Because really it is unbelievable.
Thank you. And I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
That's what I'm supposed to do. And then we sit, and we sit, and we wait, and then the White House slate comes across the Zoom broadcast of this, and there are no questions, of course. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine being in the reality where that's Donald Trump, where he's saying, Kaylee, should I take questions? What am I supposed to do here? Like, that is...
That would never happen.
He's the most supposed to be. I mean, think about this for a second. Joe Biden's supposed to be the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful person in the world. And he's like, he just looks like he's being placed in a chair to say the things that are in front of them, in front of him. And then when those things are over, he just looks for his next cue. What is this?
Why wouldn't they talk about him taking or not taking questions beforehand?
What if they did?
They probably did.
What if that was a conversation that took place? What if it wasn't? If you want to take questions and you're the president of the United States, you take the freaking questions. You don't ask, who's Nance? That's not Nancy Pelosi. That's got to be some handler, somebody whose job it is, because these people exist, of course, to shuffle people from one place to the next because of all the things that you need the president of the United States to have in his mind or her mind. Yes, I said it, if you're a Will Mixon out there. If you are somebody who is going from one place to the other and you need to have all of these things going on, it's helpful to have one person say, okay, next up is Tyrus with Fox Nation, and we're going to talk about American pride. And so I have a list here that says that because I need to have that guide so that I can also talk to you about important and interesting things. People who are actually really important in the world, like Joe Biden, have people who do that for them. But it doesn't seem like he has any like contribution in this equation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's very concerning. Katie, you're Joe Biden supporting friends and family, friends, whatever.
Yeah, family. Mm-hmm.
Are they concerned?
I don't think they're any more concerned today than they were when they voted for him. I think pretty much everyone that voted for him, friends and family that I know of that I've had conversations with, they knew what they were voting for. They knew Joe Biden's mind. They knew his mentality. They knew what was going to happen, the direction that it was going to go for the next 4 years.
Are they content?
But anything is better than Trump. That's why they voted, much like a lot of people in 2016 said anything is better than Hillary Clinton. So their mindset is we'll give Joe Biden a chance. We know that he's going to be directed around a lot. We know that there's going to be sentences that are misplaced. But anything is better than four more years of Trump. And I'm like, you know what?
We'll see.
Okay. Okay. That's what you voted for then.
Are these folks moderates? Are they left idealists? Because if you're somebody who, if you're like a progressive ideologue and you voted for him and Joe Biden was put out there as the everyman, Uncle Joe, let's be honest, Grandpa Joe, great Grandpa Joe. If you were somebody who thought that he was going to be palatable for everybody. I mean, all he did was sit in his basement and talk about unity and stuff. If you thought that's who he was going to be, but you were internally a leftist ideologue, you've got to be thrilled with the stuff that he's been doing as the president. If you are somebody who's a moderate and detests Donald Trump, like you say, Katie, anything's better than Trump, and you're like, how bad could it really be? Aren't you terrified right now? I would think you would be.
I think that they are to some degree. I think that they are to some degree. But a lot of people that are moderates that I know of, they're not pleased with every executive order or everything that Joe Biden has co-signed onto. But they are pleased with some of it. So some of it outweighs, you know, nothing that they agreed with Trump on.
Do they like Nancy Pelosi?
No, I don't know a person that likes Nancy Pelosi. I don't
know. Pelosi likes Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to play this cut. I got to refresh my page here. But, I mean, someone commented that his direction towards Nance there was that she opened that press conference. So can he call her Nance?
Nance.
Can you imagine a scenario where Trump's like, hey, Nance over there. Like, that doesn't work.
Are we sure it wasn't Jim Nance from CBS Sports?
It was Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
Jim's not opening up nothing.
Listen to this.
My colleagues, as you know, our nation is blessed with Joe Biden as president of the United States. He is an extraordinary president. He knows how to get the job done.
Do you ever believe anything Nancy says? I mean, if she said, the sky is blue today, I'd be like, nah, I don't know about that. I mean, she comes off as that type of a person. What's her approval rating these days? I'm going to Google that. I guess Mitch McConnell is probably that same kind of person who, like, I look at Mitch McConnell and he's like the killer. He understands politics more than most anybody in Washington, D.C., and he's absolutely willing to do what he needs to do to get the job done. That's 100% Nancy Pelosi.
Absolutely. Just the opposite end. Just the other side of the coin.
And you can't be okay with it. Like, the mentality, I guess you can. You can do whatever you want. It's America, at least last time I checked. But you can't look at that type of mentality on one side and be okay with it if they sacrifice. I just look at, like, the way Nancy speaks. It's not about anything that's actually really happening. It's what she wants you to think. When she speaks to you, it's like she's using her Nancy Pelosi powers to seep into your brain and plant a thought in your head that you can then repeat and that the pundits can then repeat to make sure that everybody knows that they're on the same page. I think it has something to do with her hand gestures. She has very aggressive hand movements. Have you ever noticed that?
I am trying to figure out why are people constantly voting for her to stay in speakership?
I just looked up her approval rating when Annie said that. Mm-hmm. It looks like in December, only 31% of all voters wanted her to be elected speaker again. I'm sure that includes Republicans, so it's probably about half and half with Democrats. Mm.
She's just not good for the country, and everybody knows it. The congressional approval rating, her approval rating, like, nobody's higher. It doesn't matter to her. This... Andrew on YouTube says, she's the greatest speaker in history, male or female. Well, that's probably true. It really depends on what kind of great you're measuring, though, I would say. Effective? Is that equitable to great? I'm not 100% sure.
I think Joe Biden said that she is the greatest speaker in history. I'm almost positive he said that Monday.
We just heard Nancy Pelosi say that our nation is blessed to have Joe Biden as president. So maybe they had tea together. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to read an Alyssa Milano tweet. That's a way to make you change the station. Maybe I won't. Maybe I promise not to. Maybe I'll jumble it up for you. But she made a reference. People are getting canceled for Nazi-like references, right? Is that the rhetoric that we are okay with or not okay with? Does it depend on who says it? Do you have to be a certain political persuasion to get the permission slip to trivialize Nazi Germany and liken somebody to that? What are the rules for cancel culture? Consequence culture. Oh, yes, that's right. Even cancel culture now has a semantic argument about it. You've got to be kidding me. I'll tell you about it when we come back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So I was talking about this Alyssa Milano tweet that she put out yesterday. Alyssa Milano is one of the most vocal lefties in Hollywood. She's been very vocal. She's been very consistent. She's probably single-handedly responsible for the biggest tweet that I have ever been associated with, because I don't know why she did it, but I tweeted out before the election. I tweeted out the first day I tweeted out, name a Joe Biden policy, because I just wanted to see if people could tell me things that Joe Biden stood for. Because it was kind of hard because nobody would ask him any questions about it because he never did any press conferences. And then the next day I did name a Donald Trump policy. But name a Joe Biden policy, she retweets this and like feeds me to her wolves. And basically I got a bunch of people writing back to me telling me to die and associating me with like Trump obsession. And it was just like, this is kind of, I know that you don't see the irony in the point that you're proving for me, but thank you. At CPAC, there was a stage that was created that was in the formation, if you look at it from a certain angle, in a symbol that has Nazi ties to it. However, it's been revealed in the last 24, 48 hours that the people who designed the stage are people who have worked with the Biden campaign, I think. I don't know about the administration, but have worked with Joe Biden, have worked with MSNBC, and people have looked up their political donations, and they're like 98% leftist donations. So there's the stage design. If you haven't seen it yet, I mean, don't waste your time. This is not something that people need to be getting worked up over. However, there's a statement that's been put out here from Hyatt, because that's where CPAC was held. Hyatt's most fundamental responsibility is to provide a safe and inclusive environment for all of our colleagues, guests, and customers. Our commitment to this principle is informed by our purpose as a company to care for people so they can be their best. We take pride in operating a highly inclusive environment, and we believe that the facilitation of gatherings is a central element of what we do as a hospitality company. We believe in the right of individuals and organizations to peacefully express their views independent of the degree to which the perspectives of those hosting meetings and events at our hotels align with ours. Our own values support a culture that is characterized by empathy, respect, and diversity of opinions and backgrounds. And we strive to bring this to light through what we do and how we engage in those in our care. So that's the statement that came out of people, you know, trying to, I don't know if they tried to cancel Hyatt, pressure Hyatt. You guys know who owns the Hyatt, Pritzker family, folks. Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting wrinkle in this story. Alyssa Milano retweets the statement and she says, in other words, Hyatt is totally fine hosting Nazis. Why does Alyssa Milano get to call everybody who is at CPAC Nazis? Why does she get to do that? I mean, real question here. If your answer is simply because she's on the left, that's not a good enough answer, and I don't accept it. What is it about the people? In many cases, people in that room at that time have fought for our country, have fought for our freedom, have fought against tyrannical leaders who, you know, I don't think that anybody can ever be at the level of Hitler, God forbid, but they fought against things that stifle freedom. There are people there who love their country. What is it that qualifies people who attended CPAC as Nazis? And why does Alyssa Milano get to say that? I don't even know what she could be canceled. Can we cancel her Twitter? That would be fine with me.
Get rid of the Twitter.
Why is it that she gets to be out there this vocally, this aggressively, straight up saying that people who are at this event are Nazis? Why does she get to say that?
If you were on the left, wouldn't you just be mad at Alyssa Milano? I mean, there are people on the right that I hope don't speak for me, but you know, everybody says, well, if you're on the right, then you're basically Westboro Baptist Church or whatever. Like, Alyssa Milano almost is that for the left, but nobody ever calls her out on it.
They're not mad at her. She's their spokesperson. They love her. They adore her. They prop her up. That, I mean, there's absolutely no way to compare, like, well, people on the right behave this way. Why, where are the people on the left? They don't exist. They're not speaking up. Bill Maher, I mean, maybe Bill Maher is the person. Bill Maher's going out this earlier this week saying that we need to basically cancel culture and that it doesn't serve anybody's purpose, and canceling Dr. Seuss is how we get Trump 2.0 in 2024. But the outrage cannot just come from people like you and me who see this and go, like, you don't even have words. You're like, ah, but... Mm-hmm. Why? And you don't know where to go with it. So you retweet it. It probably puts you in an algorithm to somehow or another get shadow banned or kicked off Twitter ultimately at the end. I just don't understand it.
She is the person, going along with what you just said, Annie, she is the person that's calling cancel culture consequence culture.
Oh, heavens.
And then whenever something happens with Gina Carano where she loses her job, I'm sure Alyssa Milano was like, that's what you get. That's what happens. And then... here she is doing the exact, not the exact same type of thing, worse.
I was going to say, it's not, I mean, way what Gina worse. Carano said, she didn't call anybody a Nazi.
Right. They're just using a reference, a reference in time.
To authoritarian regimes, basically. She's using the example from the past to say, we don't want to go
Carano
down that road. Gina Carano was,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I think that's the thing that disappoints me most about a lot of people that are part of the consequence culture, that believe it is consequence culture. Because when something happens on their side of the aisle, they're quick to just turn around and ignore it and say, well, that's Alyssa Milano. She's on my side. She's a good person.
Alyssa Milano has power, but she has power because it's given to her. And I don't know, we talked about this a little bit earlier this week. In order for that power to exist in her, she's not been elected to anything. She's the girl from Who's the Boss. Like, that is who she is to me. She was on Project Runway. I didn't like it when she was on there. So
and Charmed.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that she has, is it a frequency of tweeting? I mean, before Donald Trump became president, it makes her no different than Donald Trump. And now that Donald Trump is not on, or not the president of the United States, I don't know that if he were tweeting and saying things that were, you know, very polarizing on the right side, what is different about what she's saying and what Donald Trump would be saying right now as the person who's not the president of the United States. She has fame, she has fortune, she has a mass following, and she speaks to them in a way that they feed off of, and it gives her power. It's got to stop, and it can't stop. It's not going to stop when every conservative bands together and says, this has to stop. It's not going to change anything. That's the problem here. There have to be more people on the other side of these issues, her side of the issues, who see the hypocrisy and who know, like, at the very foundation of this conversation, and I'm putting Gina Carano into this conversation because this is the climate we're in. When you refer to Nazi Germany, you have to understand the consequence of Nazi Germany. You have to understand and fully grasp how utterly horrific that event is. If you pull that into your character limited Twitter feed, there's really no way for you to, in summary, convey the horrors of what took place in Nazi Germany in your tweet. And then in addition to that, like, that is a statement of its own. In addition to that, slip in some sort of point that you want to make about something else that has to do with politics that you prefer. I am not in favor of any of it. I don't want to see Gina Carano's tweets that explain how we might be in a moment in time that was here once before that did set up a culture that permitted a Nazi Germany to exist. I don't want to see that because I don't want to trivialize what Nazi Germany did, what the Holocaust was, what Adolf Hitler was capable of. It should there, you can't even summarize it in a limited amount of characters. But we sure as hell can't allow one side to do it and not the other.
I feel like conservatives do call out bad behavior on our side pretty often, too. I mean, like January 6th, for instance. That day, almost every single person that you heard in the media who is representative of the right at all was like, whoa, this is not okay. Same thing over the summer. Peaceful, fiery, but peaceful. You know, it's people trying to paper over it instead of saying, no, you can't do that.
But it's not about that. It can't be about sides. It can't be about saying our side does it right and their side does it wrong. That's my point. Like the entirety of the conversation surrounding anything that we're dealing with in this great country that we're living in right now, and somehow boiling it down to, well, we're just three steps away from Nazi Germany here with Adolf Hitler in the White House, whether it's the last administration or this administration. Well, we don't respect what we're talking about. We don't engage in these conversations. Nobody is engaging in these types of alliterations to try to really drive home a point about how bad it is right now. They want to win something political. And it's so self-serving. It's so shallow in the way that it's presented. I mean, to think of that here with Alyssa's tweet here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She took 9 words to call half of America, or at least the people at CPAC, 9 words to call them Nazis. What does that even mean? Alyssa, do you know what that means? Do you know the kind of weight you're throwing around with that? And if you get into a more nuanced point that Gina Carano put out, nobody's reading into nuanced points on Twitter about Nazi Germany. Nobody cares. You invoke the words, the buzzwords, the Hitler, the Nazi, the Holocaust. If you say any of these types of things on Twitter, on Facebook, potentially on the air, you're going to get busted for it. If the other side hates you enough, they're going to rally the troops because it's that easy. It's that shallow. It's that stupid and ignorant. The point is not that we need to work we need a culture shift is what we need. We need to start caring about things that are real and stop working every day we wake up to try to formulate the best possible tweet to dunk on our political opponent. There are so many more things that are important in life. So many more things. Kevin Wheeler joins us in the next hour. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.